Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms 118, reading verse 1 through 9. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that God's mercy endures forever. I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord heard me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Heavenly Father, today we want to put our trust in you. Lord, it's the cry of my heart that as a preacher, as an evangelist, what have you, that somehow you'd use me to touch the heart of the people, and that they would do exactly as these last two verses have said, that the people listening would put their confidence in you and not in the ways, the abilities, the wisdom, etc. of man. Let's trust in God and not politics or money or education or whatever. Let's trust in God. God, please do something today to that end. Please touch the heart that we would today put our trust in God. Please help us today, in Jesus' name. Amen. My message today, the title is The Altar, Part 10. And we've studied quite a bit about the altar. Last time we looked at Isaiah 53. We looked at other things before that. There are the mechanics of it that I could go into. We could talk about perhaps the various types of offerings that the Word of God says that should have happened and did happen. We could take another look at the temple, the tabernacle of Moses, what have you. But perhaps the most important thing about an altar is that we come to God trusting Him, believing Him, depending upon Him, and when we have need of God's help. Again, a number of people in the Old Testament built altars to God. The patriarchs, for instance, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want to run through those very quickly. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 7 and 8, it says, "The Lord appeared unto Abram which was Abraham's shortened or first name, and said, "Unto thy seed or thy offspring will I give this land," the land of Israel, the promised land. The nation of Israel was given to the Jews by God. And we might do well to remember that when we watch the news. "Unto thy seed will I give this land," and Abraham, in response to the promise, he said he builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai or Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. Again, one verse, and the next verse, two altars. Abraham received a promise, and as we'll see through his journey by faith to a place that he didn't know where it was when he started, it says Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's in Hebrews. But along his journey, he continued to build altars because he continually needed to call upon the name of the Lord, asking God for help, direction, wisdom, protection, what have you. When he went into battle, he trusted in God. When he was wanting to know which way to go, he trusted in God. And one other note, it says in verse 8 that he was between Bethel and Ai, and he built his altar and called upon God for help. Bethel is the house of God. We know Bethlehem, the house of bread, Bethel, the house of God. And Ai was actually a dung heap. Not just a garbage heap, but a dung heap, a poop heap. You say, why would they pile that stuff up? I don't know. I guess animals made a lot of it. But on his journey, he stopped in between the house of God and a dung heap. And if you reverse them, that describes us. We have a promise. As Christians, we have a promise. We've been made to understand that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We've passed from death to life. We're on our way to heaven. That's the promise. We're going to the house of God, heaven. But we've left Ai, a dung heap, which honestly, that describes my life before I was saved. Probably many of you could agree that before you got saved, your life wasn't worth a whole lot. We're in between. We're on a journey from a sinful life and a destination of hell. We have this new life. We're going to heaven. And on the way, we have to call upon God. But Genesis 13, verse 18, "And Abram moved his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and he built there an altar of the Lord." If you're counting, that's three altars. And in Genesis chapter 22, verse 9, his most famous altar that he built, when God told him to sacrifice his son. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built there an altar, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And we know the story. I'm sure you've heard the story in Sunday school or what have you, that just as he was about to take the life of his own son, God spoke from heaven and says, "Hey, I know you trust me. Look, don't kill your son. I've prepared a ram in the thicket. Go look down the side of the mountain. There's a ram in the thicket. Take that and offer him instead of your son. And we understand that this altar and this sacrifice is a picture, a foreshadowing of when God himself put his own son on an altar and didn't stay his hand, but allowed his son to be crucified between two thieves. Abraham built four altars. Moses also built four altars. In Genesis 26, verse 25, it says that Isaac, he built an altar. In Genesis 35, verse 7, Jacob built an altar when he fled from the face of his brother. Again, when we're in trouble on our journey, we should build an altar. We should call upon the name of God. But we should trust in God. We should depend upon God. We should call upon God. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Maybe you remember the king Hezekiah. In Isaiah chapter 36, it talks about Hezekiah. It says, and you can read about him in Kings and what have you, and Chronicles, but this is Isaiah's perspective of the troubles that Hezekiah found himself in. It says, now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came up against all the defensed cities of Judah and took them. The enemy king came with his armies and one by one overcame them, overpowered them, overran them, what have you. He captured these cities, the cities of defense. Maybe they had a wall, maybe they were out on the perimeter protecting the rest of Judah. But Sennacherib came and captured them. And there's two chapters of narrative. And it tells the story. It's a wonderful story of how when the enemy came, Hezekiah prayed. Hezekiah trusted in God. Hezekiah ran to the altar. He didn't build an altar. The altar had already been built. It was in the temple, in the house of God. But he ran to it and prayed and believed God and asked God for help. And God delivered Judah. But again, there's this big story that Sennacherib, he started taking cities, and then he sent messengers, or what have you, to the king, King Hezekiah, and says, I've done this, I'm going to do that next, and there's nothing you can do to stop me. But let's pick it up at verse 4. And Rabshakeh said unto them, say ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? And he said, you Jews say, but you say it for nothing, it's vain words, that I have counsel and strength for war. Now, on whom do you trust that you rebel against me? How dare you resist me? You know I'm going to take over. How dare you, and what or who are you trusting in? And he's taunting the king. He's blaspheming God. And he makes this statement in verse 6. Again, we're in Isaiah chapter 36. Though thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt, whereupon if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him. And unfortunately, the Jews through the centuries and other nations, when they got in trouble, when the enemy came up against them, they would send messengers down to Egypt and say, "Hey, Pharaoh, why don't you send some soldiers up here to help us?" They trusted in Egypt, which is interesting because God delivered Israel from Egypt. You remember the Passover night? You remember the Red Sea? And they were chased by Pharaoh, and they all drowned in the Red Sea. Why would God's people go back and trust in Egypt? That's a great question, and it needs to be asked again and again and again. And why would a Christian? He's been delivered. He's learned how to be a disciple. He's got the Bible. He studies it. Why would he trust in politics or psychology or money or what have you? Why would he? We ought to trust in God. But then Rabshakeh, the messenger from Assyria, he stood up and as loud as he could, he taunted the Jews. And he says in verse 14, "Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord shall surely deliver us." Again, he's taunting God's people. He's taunting the king, trying to put fear in them, trying to make them feel hopeless. Verse 16, he says, "Hearken not to Hezekiah," or "Don't believe the preacher. Don't believe the gospel. Don't believe when the preacher says that I am the Lord that healeth thee. Don't believe the preacher when he says to put your trust in God." That's the taunt. Verse 18, "Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Have any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria?" Hey, we've come against all these other nations. We defeated them. We're going to defeat you. And Hezekiah can't help you, and your God can't help you. Again, the taunt goes on. In Isaiah chapter 37, again, the taunt goes on. "And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes, and he covered himself with sackcloth or burlap, and he went into the house of the Lord." When he heard the bad news, he rent his clothes. He tore his shirt. And then he went, got a burlap sack, cut some holes in it, and used that for a shirt. And then he went into the house of God. The rending of the clothes and the sackcloth, and in other places it says to put dust in your head, it's a sign of repentance and humility. That you don't want to trust in your ways, your understanding, your solutions. You want to trust in God. But when he heard the news, he got closer to God. He forsook himself and he went to the house of God to pray. And again, the taunts went on. The messengers came and made more taunts. And at one point, they sent a letter And Hezekiah in verse 14, again, we're in Isaiah chapter 37. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And once again, Hezekiah went up into the house of God, and he spread the letter before the Lord. Now, God knows everything. God knows everything. God knows what will happen tomorrow. God knows what will happen next year. God knows everything before it happens. God knew what was in that letter. But it's important to understand that when Hezekiah received that bad news, he went to the house of God. He went to church. And he took that letter and he spread it out and said, "Hey, God, read the letter." God knows what's in the letter, but it's important that we trust in God. It's important that we bring our problems to the Lord. It's important that we trust and depend upon Him. Again, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes or politics or leaders. When he got the bad news, he went to church, spread the letter out, said, "Hey, God, read that." And then it says he prayed. He called out to God. He prayed and said, "Lord, what are you going to do? I mean, he's made threats, Sennacherib has. He's right. Every nation that they came up against, every country, they just, like German tanks, went on through. And now they're coming up to us. And if you don't help us, they're going to win and we're going to lose. Oh, God, help. Oh, God, help." And the narrative goes on. But it says that God delivered Hezekiah. God saved Judah. It says it in the Isaiah narrative. It says it in Kings and Chronicles. If we put our trust in God, if when trouble comes, COVID-19, or race riots, or whatever's going to happen next month, if we put our trust in God, God can help us. When trouble comes, we need to turn to God. We need to look to God. Put our confidence in God. For with God, nothing is impossible.
Shed for
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net and click the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 3111 46th Street, Metairie, Louisiana 7001. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.